It's time once again for the Rose Chat Podcast, your source of inspiration and motivation to achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington as they explore the world of roses and chat with the world's top rose experts, authors, artists, curators, and more. Here are your hosts, Chris and Teresa.
Well, thank you for joining us for another broadcast of the Rose Chat Podcast. Now, fall is definitely in the air, and it's time for our annual series of preview podcasts of all the new roses coming out for 2014. Now, we'll be chatting with the world's top rose producers and preview all the wonderful new roses that we know you'll want to add to your gardens.
Chris, I'm going to say I'm having a little bit of rose envy today because I know in our first interview of this series, you caught up with Michael Marriott at David Austin Roses to talk about their incredible collection of English roses for 2014.
I sure did, Teresa. Michael and I had a great chat. You know, he's in the U.S. this week touring trial gardens, and he and I got to talk about his travels, what's happening with David Austin himself, as well as sharing his insights on five wonderful new rose varieties being introduced next year. He even gives us some care and maintenance tips. I'll tell you, I'm excited.
I'm excited, too. But before we get started, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll listen to Chris's interview with Michael Marriott. Stay with us. There's a lot more of Rose Chat Podcast coming your way.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Let's listen now to Chris as he chats with Michael Marriott about new roses from David Austin.
Well, we're with Michael Marriott of David Austin Roses. Michael, welcome to Rose Chat. It's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, very good to speak to you again, Chris.
Yeah, it seems like just, last week we were here talking about the 2013 introductions, and here we are again. It's October and time for brand new roses from David Austin. We're excited about that.
Yes, I know. Just time just rushes past, doesn't it? And it's just 1 year after the next. So, yeah, but anyway, it's always good fun to introduce some new varieties and see what's coming on the market. And as ever, there's some good and exciting new varieties come this year.
Oh, wow. I'm excited to talk about those. Wanted to hear a little bit about what's going on at David Austin Roses and hear a little bit about the Austin family and how everyone's doing.
Well, the original David Austin is 87, and he's a bit more wobbly on his legs these days, but he's still absolutely passionate about his roses, of course. And that's one thing that he does still at the nursery. He's still very interested about what's going on generally in the nursery, but the one thing he's totally passionate about and keeps control on is the breeding of the new varieties. And that's something that will never go from him at all. And so he has a very good right-hand man that works with him to look after on a day-to-day basis of the breeding and do more of the assessment these days. But he's still very much in charge there and, as I said, very passionate about the new varieties that are introduced each year and in which direction the breeding program is going for the next 10, 15, 20 years.
Wow, my goodness. What a rich legacy he has built.
Yeah. I think rose breeders are famed for living a long life. They always have something to look forward to. They always, as the varieties that they're introducing at the moment, which are been around for 10 years or more now, and then there's the varieties that, they're going through the process, trying to choose the best ones. There's always the excitement of seeing the ones that are going to flower for the very first time in the seedling bench. And, of course, there's always planning for the future. If we do this, maybe we can do that, get that, and if we do something else, we can go in a slightly different direction. So it's absolutely fascinating field to work in. But it's a long process. I mean, he's he's been breeding roses now since he's about 20, so that's, you know, just 67 years or something like that now, and he's just starting to, he's quite getting quite pleased about the varieties he's introduced these days. And he said, oh gosh, yeah, you ought to see the varieties that are going to be introduced in 10 years' time. They're going to be absolutely fantastic. So it's brilliant.
That's wonderful. And of course,
his son, David, is also David, and he's the managing director of the company. And he took over running the nursery at a crucial time, really, when David Senior was maybe wanting to slow down a little bit, and has taken the company into a very good direction, very good firm hold on the market, and we've expanded a lot into the overseas market. I mean, we've been in the States now for many years. I mean, I think this is our 15th edition of our catalog here in the States, but we've expanded a lot into Japan. We've got an office over there and quite a good business there, and then throughout Europe and Russia, generally Asia, and then the sort of next new area is China, which is always a very scary area to go into because, of course, they're very good at copying other things, but I'm off next month to view 6 potential very big rose gardens in China in view of designing them. So very much looking forward to that.
Wow. Well, you know, the world of social media has really opened up. People sharing pictures of their blooms. And, you know, I don't know if you're on Facebook regularly or Instagram, but we see David Austin roses, you know, being posted from, as you said, Japan, of course, Great Britain and Germany and France and all over the world. People are in love with English roses.
They are, yes. It's absolutely wonderful to see. And, you know, every time I get feedback from people, I say, oh, gosh, yeah, it's such a privilege to be working for David Austin as a company and working with such beautiful flowers. And of course, I'm very lucky because I get to travel all around the world and see them in their various places and see some most amazing gardens. I actually get paid to travel and see fantastic gardens. So I'm quite lucky from that point of view.
Wow, definitely. Now, speaking of travel, you've been here in the United States visiting some gardens as well, haven't you?
Yes, I've been here for the last 10 days or so. I'm in Seattle, actually, at the moment with my daughter and her family with a 7-day-old granddaughter. And,
oh, my goodness. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes. Her name is Lily Rose. So, a very good name.
That's beautiful.
Yes, so I started off in Atlanta and went to Biltmore. And never been to Biltmore before, but I was very impressed with that garden. And they've got a big rose garden, major scale, quite formal. But it's they're working hard at restoring. It was sort of, I think, not very well looked after for a number of years. And now they've got an excellent young man there called Lucas, who's looking after the roses and. Seems to be very passionate about them, and I think going to do a very good job. So he's only been there a couple of years, so it'll be very interesting to see how that goes. And then there's the Biltmore Trials, which have been run by Paul Zimmerman, and that's a very useful trial because they're unsprayed. So, of course, a lot of people these days don't want to spray their roses anymore, and quite rightly too, and just about all breeders are trying to introduce new varieties of roses that are as healthy as possible. And so it's a very important trial, and we were very pleased that last year one of our varieties, Darcy Bustle, beautiful red flowers, was awarded the Top Shrub Award. So we're very pleased with that.
Oh, most definitely. Now, from there you went out over to Texas, didn't you, to a Farmers Branch? Or?
That's right. Went to a Farmers Branch. Never been there before, and they've got a very impressive rose garden, which again is unsprayed, and it's been one of the trial sites for the Earth Kind roses. And a few of our roses there are looking good, and we hope to get a whole lot more in as well. And it's a very interesting place in that they've really, the city are really trying hard to make all the parks and the gardens as attractive as possible and planting a lot of roses, but also a lot of other plants as well. And I was really impressed by the how well the all the gardens were being looked after. Really, really, really very, very good. And yes, that was very good. And then went there to the Tyler Rose Garden, which of course is probably one of the best known, probably one of the largest rose gardens in the States. And there they'd not long been cut back because, of course, they got their rose show there in the middle of October. So there wasn't a lot to see there, but still an impressive sight.
My goodness, yeah. Yeah, Tyler's the rose capital of they say, the world.
Yes.
It's a beautiful place, most definitely.
Yeah, yes, that's right. Yeah. It was very hot when I was there.
Yeah. It is known for being hot and humid in that part of the country, just as it is here in Alabama. Wanted to talk now a little bit about these five new rose introductions from David Austin. And I guess we'll get started with one that really caught my eye. That's a salmon-colored rose, and I believe it's called Boscobel. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Boscobel, I think it might be the one rose this year that is best suited to the general sort of hotter climate. It's fairly compact. It'll grow to about 3 or 4 feet tall, and very classic sort of Austin-type flowers, very, very double, most beautiful fragrance, which is sort of this myrrh character, but it's got hints of elderflower and pear and almond in this as well, and it's a really distinctive fragrance. And the color is a sort of, it starts off as more of a slightly salmony color, salmony pink, but then changes into a pure deep pink later on. And so it's fairly upright and very well mannered sort of rose, and so it'd be very good either in mixing with other plants, perennials and things like that, or just in a formal rose garden on its own. It's a great, I've got high hopes for that variety. We'll see how it does over, how it copes in a climate like Alabama and things like that, which is always a bit of a challenge to many roses. And, of course, very different climate to the standard UK climate, which is rather cooler and a bit more humid.
Oh, most definitely. Now this rose has an interesting name. It was for people who are interested in English history. This rose definitely is named after some rich history.
Yes, it was named as a house called Boscobel, which is just a few miles from our nursery in the UK. And it's actually where Charles II, and you probably asked me the dates, and I don't know, probably something like the 17th century, I guess, late 1600s,
early 1730s, yeah.
Was it? Okay. And it's when he escaped, 1651, yeah. He escaped from the Cromwell's soldiers during the English Civil War. And so he hid. Apparently, he hid in this oak tree in the garden of Boscobel House, and it's a beautiful, beautiful old house, a timber framed house, which is Elizabethan type house, so it would have been built in maybe the 1500s or 1600s, and it's open to the public. So if anybody comes across, it's well worth a visit, and it's just down the road from our nursery in the UK.
Wow! Well, it's a sounds like a good day trip when you come to see the gardens.
Yes, and there's several gardens quite close to us in Shropshire, which are really most superb gardens, some of the most beautiful gardens in the UK. There's things like Woolerton Old Hall, which we named a rose for not long ago, and Powis Castle, and lots of others. It's a superb area for history and for visiting gardens as well.
Right. I found as I travel around myself and speak some on roses, and just through the program, people who love roses also love history, and they're a great combination. talk about Heathcliff, another, which I, you know, of all of the ones being introduced, I always pick out my favorites, and this is one of my favorites for this year. Tell us a little bit about Heathcliff.
Yes, everybody loves a deep red rose, don't they? And this is a classic deep red rose, and again, very large, very double flowers, classic sort of English style, the style of your Austin roses, just like the old Gallicas and Damasks and things like that. And it's got quite a vigorous rose. I mean, it'll probably grow. It's one I'm a bit unsure what it'll do in the hotter climates. It could get quite tall, but on the other hand, it might sort of just stay at a nice height. I'm not sure. So very much looking forward to getting it planted in a few of my trial gardens around the States and just see exactly what it does. But I think it'll do very well. And it's got a good fragrance. Often you get red roses and they haven't got much in the way of fragrance, but this has got a lovely fragrance. And but unusually for a red rose, it's more of a tea-type fragrance rather than the old rose fragrance or the fruity fragrance you might expect in the old roses. I've got high hopes for this one as well, and I think it'll do extremely well. I think it'll be a very popular rose. And Heathcliff was is a character from Wuthering Heights, one of Emily Bronte's most famous books. And of course, there's a famous film, hasn't there, been made of Wuthering Heights as well?
Oh yeah, definitely. He was a brooding character in that book. Dark and brooding,
yes, and I think very well named. It's very well named because it's dark red flowers. It has the deep sort of character.
Oh, most definitely, it's a beautiful rose. The next one is a very different rose, the Lark Ascending, which is it takes on a very different coloring and form. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yes, and very, very different. I love the semi doubles, the singles and semi doubles. Obviously the very double ones are extremely beautiful, but and often these sort of singles and semi-doubles don't actually sell very well, but a lot of people do love them a lot. And this one is very much like one that we introduced a few years ago called Buttercup, which is, as the name suggests, a sort of golden yellow color. And this is very similar, but it's got much more of a rich apricot flower, and excuse me, and but it's extremely healthy. I mean, in our trials in the UK, I don't think it ever got any disease at all. It just stayed totally healthy all the time. So again, it'll be interesting to see how it copes with the sort of hotter, more humid climate of your part of the world and the Midwest and things like that. But it's going to be a vigorous variety. I'm pretty sure about that. I've seen it in Japan, where it's a sort of hot and humid climate, and there it's grown very vigorously. So if you plant this, give it plenty of space. It might take off quite strongly. But it's if you like the singles and say doubles, then I think it's the most glorious variety, and hopefully, as I say, it'll stay completely healthy. So it might reach a height of sort of 5 feet or so, and actually might be worth trying it as a climber. A lot of the English roses grow very well as climbers, and especially in the sort of hotter climate, so it's well worth trying it like that.
Oh, most definitely. Another rose that's coming out this year commemorate Queen Elizabeth's Royal Jubilee is the rose name for that occasion, and it is a beauty.
Yes, and people are loving that. Certainly in the UK, people love the look of this rose, and the name, they love the name as well. So, yes, a really deep pink color, lovely rounded flowers. If you look inside, actually, it looks as though from the photographs there might be a lot of petals there, but in fact there's only about 35, but it gives the appearance of being sort of fairly double with a sort of rounded appearance. You can't really see the stamens very much in the middle. And again, extremely healthy, and a lovely rich fruity fragrance and a certain amount of blackcurrant fragrance in there as well. Quite a vigorous rose. I mean, I think that will go maybe to 4 or 5 feet without too much difficulty. And again, might be worth trying it as a climber as well. It might do very well.
Wow. Yeah, and I love those cupped blooms of this rose. I'm excited to try this one in my garden. I would definitely love to try it as a climber. We've got a couple arches that we can put that on and let it go, see what it does.
Yeah. Yeah. I always think it's it's always important, I think, when you plant a rose on an arch, not to be too impatient and just plant a rose that's going to maybe take 2 or 3 years to get up and cover it, but then it's not going to get out of hand then. Otherwise, you'll be battling with a rose. It'll be growing all over the place, and you won't get so many flowers. It'll just look a mess, so it's best to plant something that'll just take its time a bit to cover it and then just look good from then on.
Yeah. Now, do you see that in a lot of English rose varieties that you guys produce, that you need to give them some time in the garden? You know, sometimes I think people think you plant it and it's going to immediately jump up out of the ground and bloom furiously for, within a couple of months. And so what would be your advice on that?
Well, absolutely. If you choose, I mean, gardeners are impatient, a lot of people. But in fact, if you plant something that's too vigorous for an arch, it'll look untidy. You'll be battling with it, and you just won't get many flowers on it at all. So it's much better to plant something that is the right size, just let it take its time a bit to grow up there, and it'll look so much better. And of course, if you grow something on a wall or something like that, if it's something too vigorous, they're not self-clinging, so you've got to think about getting up there on the ladder and, do you really want to go up 10 foot up a ladder to sort of go and prune your rose and train it? It's much better just to have something that is of moderate vigor, which grows sort of 8 foot tall or something like that, and is easy to look after. And it'll produce a lot of flowers at the same time. And that's one of the great things about the Austin roses as climbers, is that they are very good at producing flowers low down on the plant. You come to our nursery in the UK, you'll see that the first flowers are just within a few inches of the ground, and they're absolutely superb from that point of view.
Wow, they make a stunning appearance in the garden, whether they're climbers or just grown as shrubs in a mixed border. Very eye-catching. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of white roses, and I saved I guess the best for last. I love this rose, Tranquility, that's being introduced this year, which is one of the musk hybrids. Can you tell us about it?
Yes. A bit like red roses, they're good white roses are very difficult to breed. And so we're very pleased to introduce this one. We've had to introduce a few white ones in the last few years, or creamy ones, but I think this is certainly the best one so far. Again, classic Austin-type, very flowers, very large flowers, rosette with over 100 petals, and fairly upright growth, very very healthy, and a nice fragrance as well, sort of a fruity fragrance. So I think this will be an excellent variety. Again, I'm not quite sure how tall it'll grow in the States. Hopefully, it won't. Won't get too big. I think it'll be just a nice size, so about 4 feet or something like that, 4 to 5 feet. Like always, it'll depends where you are in the States. If you're up in Portland or here in Washington, then it'll probably stay a fairly moderate size. But in your part of the world, it might get a bit taller. But I'm always amazed. I always have these ideas beforehand of what a certain variety might do. And quite often I'm surprised about what it actually does do. It doesn't follow my thoughts about what it might do at all. So, I mean, there's a variety called Princess Anne, which we introduced, was it last year, year before, something like that. And I was worried about how winter hardy it would be in sort of places like sort of Zone 5, Zone 4 and things like that. But in fact, it turns out that it's a really hardy variety and doing really well in sort of places like Chicago and Ohio. So they are. You can never tell. You can look at its breeding. You can have a guess, but you can never be sure what it'll actually do when it comes to planting it.
Oh, absolutely. We one of the things that I noticed about this rose, or I read, was that this particular rose was almost thornless. Very few thorns on this rose.
Yes, and on the whole, actually, the Austin varieties don't have too many thorns. I mean, it's not a character that we try to breed for at all, but if they happen to come out more thornless, then jolly good. Of course, unless it's a climber. If it's a climber, you want to grow up into a tree or something like that, then you need thorns for them to hang on with. And but yes, this one's got very few thorns, and quite a few of our Leander hybrids and Musk hybrids don't have much in the way of thorns. The old rose hybrids tend to be more thorny. So things like Munster Wood have a good fair share of thorns on them. But there's one variety called Kew Gardens, which has got single white flowers, and it hasn't got a single thorn on it at all. So that was just complete chance. And it's, both its parents are quite thorny, so it's just amazing how what comes out in the in the mix afterwards.
Oh. Hey, Chris, wasn't it wonderful to hear how David Austin Sr. is doing? You know, I've had a crush on him for years, and I hope to be excited about roses when I'm 87.
Oh, I know what you mean. He is still so actively involved in the day-to-day operations there, and it's just incredible to me to it's an inspiration too
to meet a hope.
At that age, that I'm going to be out in the garden. So
60 years in the rose garden, I can get into that.
Wow.
Well, it's time to take another quick break. But when we come back, we'll hear Michael's tips for caring for the English roses. So stay tuned.
It's time to order roses for spring delivery, and S&W Greenhouse has just what you need. From knockouts to hybrid teas, S&W has the best. From Weeks, Star Roses and Plants, and new this year, a beautiful collection of David Austin English roses that are sure to make your garden the envy of the neighborhood. Check them out online at sw-greenhouse.com.
Wanted to talk just a few minutes with you about just, some general care and maintenance of David Austin roses. A lot of people here in the United States want that cottage garden and they want to add these roses to their gardens. What tips would you give them on caring for these roses?
Basically, they're very, very easy. People always hung up about looking after roses. They somehow get very worried that roses are tricky plants to look after, but they're not. They're just like any other plants. And always my advice for people who want to plant roses is there's two things that are most important, and one is to choose a good variety, an appropriate variety. So one that you know is healthy, one you know that's going to do well in your climate. Because that's why I come over to the States every year, is to sort of see which varieties do best in which climates. The other thing is to prepare the ground really well. So if you can do those two things, then growing roses is really, really easy. So to prepare the ground well, it's just a matter of mixing lots of organic matter into the soil, and if you can do that, that's what they were doing very well at Biltmore. I was very pleased to see that it's preparing the ground extremely well, and also at Farmers Branch as well. So if you can do those two things, it's you're three quarters of the way there. And then I said the other thing that people get worried about is pruning. And a lot of people are scared to prune their roses, but in fact, it's one of the most important things to do. And if you can prune them down to sort of at least halfway, then that's a very good thing. A lot of the Austin roses tend to get quite tall. But on the other hand, if you prune them too hard, then you can sort of lose that nice shrubby character. And so there's always somewhere a compromise to be reached. And it depends really what you want that rose to do in that position. That's one of the always I say to people and I advise them on growing roses. Before you get in there with your sectors, ask yourself, how tall do you want it to grow? Do you want it to grow shorter or taller? Do you want it to be more formal or more informal? And adjust your pruning accordingly. And somewhere between a third and two-thirds is always a very good compromise for pruning. But don't be scared to get in there and prune them. There's nothing worse than a rose that hasn't been pruned hard enough and hasn't had the old wood taken out. But so going back to sort of your question, the Austin roses, they look fantastic mixed up with other plants and perennials or annuals or other shrubs. And if there's space, I always like to group them in maybe two or three or four or whatever. The plant them quite closely together, so it gives the impression of one large bush rather than a sort of three or four individuals. And just how you'd like to see your perennials growing as one large mass, then plant your roses sort of same sort of distance apart, so maybe 18 inches, 2 feet, 2 foot 6, something like that, depending on what climate you're in, and to give the impression of one large plant. And it looks so much better. And yeah, having bare soil around is not really good to look at, and it doesn't do any good for the soil either. So don't get too worried about all that stuff about air movement and things like that. Plant them quite close together, and it looks so much better.
Oh, absolutely. We have a planting of three golden celebrations in our garden, and I'll tell you, when those are in bloom, they are the talk of the neighborhood. people just they can't get enough of them, and neither can we. We absolutely love our David Austin roses. Michael, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy travel schedule to be on the Rose Chat podcast today. We really appreciate your insight and you coming and talking about these fabulous new roses for 2014.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's been lovely to talk to you again.
Well, now that we've heard such stellar advice in a lovely British accent, we're all ready to have the English cottage garden of our dreams. And I'm sure that my dreams won't be complete without Heathcliff. How about you, Chris?
Well, Heathcliff, you know, I've got to have tranquility. I've got Winchester Cathedral, and tranquility needs to be planted right next to it. And Bosco Bell and Royal Jubilee and what was the Lark Ascending.
You know what?
I'm just going to take them all.
Yeah. We'll just have our own Rose Chat Rose test. We'll try them all in different climates.
Yeah. Michael, if you're listening, I'll be sending you a note about that.
We're ready. And hey, we can visit David Austin roses at any time.
That's right. We sure can. You know, we have probably about 8 or 9 varieties of these roses in our garden, and we garden in Zone 8A in central Alabama, and we certainly get just loads and loads of beautiful blooms.
You had mentioned one of your yellow ones. I have Charlotte, and it's absolutely fabulous in my garden. It is just a showstopper. Beautiful, beautiful yellow.
Oh, wow. Now, are you growing Graham Thomas, too?
I did. I won a little award at the Rose Show with Graham Thomas. It was just stunning, and it's a beautiful, beautiful rose.
Wow.
We sure love our David Austin roses, and we've had them for a long time, and they just keep performing.
They do. Now, Teresa, next week I am excited about the podcast for next week. Ron Daniels is coming back.
Oh, yes. He's got a lot to tell us. You know, Ron has just, after 17 years in one place, he's moving, and I'm sure we're going to hear about that and what it's like to move roses and start new gardens after being such a rose gardener for such a long time. And he's going to tell us how to keep our roses healthy during the season and to get them ready for winter.
Wow. And then we'll all be traveling to Nashville next weekend for the Fall Nashville Rose Show. I'm super excited to see all the beautiful blooms.
Oh, me too. I'm excited about that. Nashville is beautiful, and the roses will be beautiful, and the weather should be just perfect. So it's going to be a fun weekend.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, it's sure been a great show. But and we've been glad to be with you. But until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
Thanks for listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington. Hear previous podcasts via our website, rosechatradio.com, or listen to this podcast via iTunes and Stitcher apps. Be sure and give us a 5-star rating and share this show with your social networks. Your friends will thank you. Join us next time for another edition of The Rose Chat. Rose Chat is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.